I don't know what it is, but I just got a smile today on my face. And isn't that a good thing? So we thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, amen? Thank you for, Lord, opening up your word tonight. And, Lord, just the seed of the word of God, just landing on good soil of our hearts. We thank you for that, Lord. Just continue to grow us up. We're getting growed up in him, aren't we?
Yes, growed up.
Getting growed up in you, Lord. We thank you for that. And we honor and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. It's good to be here. Everybody got to eat? Except I know Kenny didn't get to eat. He doesn't come to eat. So anyway, yeah, keep the Mansas. Would you keep the Mansas in prayer? Precious people. Amen. You know, sometimes when you read the news, and you just got to go put your nose in the Bible, because you can start feeling helpless. But I say, thank God that nothing happens that he doesn't see. Amen? Amen. And you just never know how things are going to turn out. You know, he loves working against the odds. He loves to, when it seems like we can't do anything, we're at our, you know, man's ability has finally come to an end. And then God can do great things. I'm trying to think of a country, you know, I should know, and I don't, and I'm sorry, in Africa. And they were having genocide. And they had a group of people that were praying. I mean, they were praying. And then they got a new leader, and they thought, man, this is, and this guy was saying, he said, I didn't sleep in my bed, I slept under my bed. And you would go outside of your house and have to step over dead bodies. I mean, and he says, but as we continue to pray, and, you know, because there was nothing they could do in that country. And he said, just to see the marvelous hand of God move to where that, it's like 80% Christian now in that country. And he said, just the thing that was interesting, he says, we prayed. And this dictator was killed or removed, and they got somebody new. They thought, great. And then he was worse. And then he was worse. But finally, man, finally, by God's power, he moved. Amen? We thank you for doing that in our nation, Lord. I know we want to stand up and we want to shout it from the rooftops. I get that. I'm part of that. But, Lord, it's going to take a divine move by your Spirit. It really is. Upon removing evil, amen, and a revival like maybe we've never seen in this nation. But where will this nation need to get to see that revival, saints? And so that may God, you know, protect us, his hand upon his people. Remember Elijah? He didn't leave Elijah on his own, correct? But things got kind of tough. So who knows? I just know that I'll trust, how about you? I'm going to trust him. Amen. And then finally, people have got to say, Lord, they've got to turn to the Lord and say, hey, my own ways, my own devices aren't working. And so you look through the history of the Bible and just the history of the world. Sometimes, you know, you see these cycles where things can have to get tough for people to like, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And in that case, he's talking to the church. And he says, if you'll open up the door, I'll come in and sup. Is him having communion with us. Amen. Don't you love the communion of the Lord? Lord, as you bring forth your word, Lord, thank you for the power of the word. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So we thank you for the word of God doing what you desire tonight, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Father. How we love you. We praise you and exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So we are in the Gospel of John, going through all of John, amen. And we are in session 20, which equates to John chapter 4, verses 14. We're going to make a little bit of tracks tonight. Now, if you remember, we just started in the woman at the well, right? And so Jesus had started in Judea, and was going through Samaria and headed for Galilee, by the way. And he takes a stop. He just happens to make the stop at a well, right, outside a Samaritan town, happens to see a woman, right? And do you think it was predestined that he'd meet that woman? We talked about predestination last week, right? Do you think it might have been predestined? Amen. Matter of fact, just think of different ways that you came to the Lord and different things that God has done in your lives. Different. I can think of three or four different points in my life where God really, really did a move in my life. And then those things where he predestined that moment and that time. Amen. So we're going to start at 4:14. We're going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to backtrack and discuss them in detail a little bit. So John 4, starting 14, it says, "But whoever drinks of the water," this is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, "but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." Amen. Aren't you glad for eternal life? "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw water.' He said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said to him, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have correctly said, I have no husband.'" Verse 18, "For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This which you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, that a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Verse 22, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had. I'm going to stop right there, actually. Wow, I am the one speaking to you. That's amazing. So that the point number one that I want to say on this is, she had mentioned, whoever drinks will never be thirsty, Jesus says, right? We know this is talking about the spiritual, correct? In the Passion Translation, it says, "fountain of the Holy Spirit flooding you with endless life." And that would translate that way. So when he's saying, I'll give you drink, or I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. And he says, give me this water. This is a long track coming out here to this well. Right? And so we know a lot of times that Jesus was talking, and I'll make this point, that he would talk in symbolism sometimes, in different things. So he started out with her saying, "Hey, I've got water that you'll never thirst again." You know, and have you experienced that water? I have, you know. I've noticed that when I am just kind of trusting him and in tune with him, I have access to that spirit, meaning his word is alive. I trust him, right? I'm confident in him. And then when I start trusting in the flesh, you ever done that? That spirit of life is still there. That fountain is still there, but sometimes we can get to where we're not familiar with it. We're not tuned into it. It's there. It can be gushing, but we're tuned into something else. And for a time frame, you ever been there where you're like trying to work it out on your own, or trying to do battle with the enemy in your mind? Remember, Satan legally always trying to trap you and I. Doesn't the word of God, what did he say to Jesus? Doesn't the word of God say this? Doesn't the word of God say that? And of course, Jesus always responded in the spirit according to the word of God. So this spirit of life that we have in us is always available, always there. It's always tapped through what? Well, the gifts of the Spirit. I've said it before, praying in tongues. The Word of God being number one. Amen. You ever had the Word of God? You ever read the Word of God and it just starts, you feel peace come over you? Yeah, sometimes I could just be reading the Word of God and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, just seems to envelop me. Wow. And, you know, I always say the same thing. Lord, why did it take some time for me to? Well, sometimes, why did I work it out on my own? Sometimes our flesh will battle, our mind, our will, and our emotions will battle with other people. You ever been there? Gosh. You live in this world? Amen. You know, talking with some construction guys today, and, you know, I'm almost afraid to ask to make a change on something I want in my house because the first thing out of their mouth is, well, F in this and F in that. And I just thought, you know, just what are you going to do? You got to just take you feel like a pinata sometimes. And just realize, hey, in this world, you're going to deal with this. Lord, may my light shine. May I respond in love. May I respond in kindness. So I remember telling a guy, I said, hey, you're just going to have to be patient with me. When it comes to these things, you're going to have to explain it to me two or three times. And so thankful that I have the Lord there. Having this flow, this drink. And when I feel like I'm not satisfied, you know, Lord, this is, I'm not walking in your satisfaction. I'm not walking in your fulfillment. I can almost be assured there's somewhere where I'm leaning on my own understanding. What's it say in Proverbs chapter 3? In all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct you. Amen? Aren't you glad for that fountain that flows from you? So this spiritual thing, this fountain of the... Make no bones about it. That fountain is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. If you know him, that is living in you and can be tapped for much more than we realize. But sometimes this thing right here likes to be in control, right? Amen. Number two. So the woman said, so number one, whoever drinks will never be thirsty. And then Jesus, we talked about that. Number two, woman says, give me this water. So Jesus starts out talking about things of this world, symbolic things that are really about spiritual things, right? And this woman at the well gets to have a conversation, gets to hear some truths without the symbolism, without the parables, right? Because what did it say, Matthew 13, 34 and 35? All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. Listen, this is powerful. And he did not speak anything to them without a parable. Wow. This was so that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will proclaim things hidden since the foundation of the world. And we know that the gospel was those things that were revealed, right? After Jesus rose from the grave. But God gives some truths to this woman. Married five times. Living with a guy, but he could have met with anybody, anywhere, but he's going to do it in Samaria. Remember, I read last week that thing that kind of talked about the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans, right? Talked about that and how they were enemies and how that came to pass. So Jesus traveling on his destination, not only talking to a woman that would be considered a sinful woman, right? This lady's life, let's just admit it, had been a wreck. Anybody ever had a wreck of a life that God brought you out of? Amen? That's all of us to some degree, right? Amen? Amen. And he takes our sins and he, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. So all of you that were raised and kept yourself perfect and squeaky clean are not any squeaker clean than I am now. Or you are. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, because you claim to see, your blindness remains. Lord, may we not have any blindness and realize that all of our sins, everything being washed away, all our righteousness has come through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Amen? Putting us all on a level playing ground. Religion won't allow you to be on a level playing ground. It's going to put you, okay, you've did this, this, and this. We're going to put you here. Now, you did these two couple things in your lifetime. We're going to have to put you a little bit lower. And so that it gets lower and lower and lower. To finally, it's like, okay, you're going to make it to heaven, but nothing else. God doesn't have anything for you. That's what religion does. But the gospel of the grace in Jesus Christ takes the most wicked of sinners, like the Apostle Paul, like you and I, and washes us as white as snow. And the thing that the Satan spends his time, I know we talk about it a lot, but it's what Satan's trick has been from the ages. If I can convince you that you're less than because of your past or today's struggles, I can keep you from predestination. Amen. Amen. Yeah, no way, Jose. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So he kept those things. So he spoke in parables. You know, 46 parables, there's 46 parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So that really gives, you know, they really give a record of, I'm sure Jesus told many more parables, but we just recorded 46. And then in John, there's really only two parables. So the different styles, what the Holy Spirit had them to focus on, John wasn't about parables. But the scripture remains that it said that he spoke to them in parables. You know, if he had spoke to them in truth, you know, when you hear truth and you just don't do anything about it, there's a hardness that can happen. You read it in Romans 1, they became so hardened against God because the truth was what? Shunned and denied and even cast off so much that they were turned over to what it says to the sins of the, they were turned over to sins. They talked about the homosexuality, different things. I wonder, I think there are a certain segment, even in this country, throughout the world, that is experiencing that right now. When you sin against such great light, and you start saying things like, this blessing, this goodness that we have has become because of our wisdom, and not the wisdom of, and it had nothing to do with God, you're setting yourself up for some trouble. You really are. You really are. Amen. And you and I as a body together being like an Elijah. Lord, thank you for the brook of water in my life. Thank you for providing for my needs. Whatever goes on in the future, amen. We can trust him, amen. Parables, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Number three, she actually, I notice in here, challenged Jesus a little bit. She says, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place. So you got to understand how she was raised. You got to understand the religion tradition she had from generation to generation to generation, saying, no, we know the Jews don't like us. They say that we're wrong, but we're at Jacob's well. We've got land that we live in that belonged to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Amen. We are true believers of God. We believe in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We are the true followers of God. So for a minute, she's like challenging Jesus. You Jews say this. You'll get people to say, hey, you say this. But it's funny how God's love and God's truth is going to penetrate her heart. Amen. But he's going to continue to speak the truth to her. Amen. Number four was, where we worship, does it matter? Let me say that because it says, in a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Did you hear that? Nor in Jerusalem, that you and I being the temple. I think you've heard me say this before, especially in the 80s. You know, my grandparents, bless their soul, they love God. They've gone on to be with the Lord. But they would say, Chad, we got baptized in the Jordan. We experienced something that you haven't experienced. And I know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the way that the church presented it is like, we've been baptized in the Jordan. We've got a little bit extra that you don't have. We've been at the Wailing Wall, And all these things, I'm not saying, I think that's great. But do you realize that that doesn't give you anything more or extra or beyond than what you're capable right now? He said, there's coming a day where they won't be worshiping here or in Jerusalem. Now, we know that Jesus is coming back. Amen. We know that he's the King of the Jews. We know that we'll see again that salvation came through the Jews. But we're living in a time right now where the Gentile church, amen, the salvation, the grace dispensation that we're living in right now. Even Paul says in Romans, says the full number of the Gentiles shall come in, then all of Israel shall be saved. Boy, we're still waiting for that. We're still waiting for that. I heard that there has been a turning, that there has been some people in Israel that have been coming to the Lord. And the church in Iran is praying and fasting for the salvation of the Jews. And so these Iranian and Middle Eastern people that are coming to the Lord, God has touched their hearts and they have a heart to see the Jewish people come to him. Wow, that's when you know God has moved. You know, when you're raised a certain way that it's been generational and you're so brainwashed and indoctrinated, it takes an absolute revelation of Jesus Christ to break that. You think of Paul, the generational stuff that he went through, the best schooling, right, the best teachers in his life, and then he gets knocked off his horse. And from then things are changed. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So the Father, neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. So number five, Jesus spoke the truth. Well, he says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. It's like you and I saying today, hey, you know, however God leads you, you're worshiping something you don't know. And salvation is only found through Jesus Christ. Never be afraid. We can never be afraid to tell the truth. See, there was a point right there in that conversation, a few verses where they could have gone south. She says, you Jews say this. And Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. But you'll find people that are at such a point in their life, in such desperation, looking for an answer, that the truth will penetrate their heart. How else could a woman in her situation be all of a sudden just turned completely to the Lord? I don't care if he read her mail or not. She still challenged him. He challenged her. She could have got offended and said, this conversation's over. But she didn't. The truth will offend some. The truth will offend some. We can't help it. We can't water down the gospel to a point where it has no effect. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. He is the life. There's no way unto the Father but through him. If you're willing to give your life to him, if you're willing to commit your life to him, he will save you. He'll wash your sins away. He'll put his spirit in you. If you don't give up and give in, he will give you a predestination that you would thought never would be imaginable God can put you in. But we can't water the gospel down. And I understand repentance. This is one thing, because I'm talking to another gentleman today, and he says, well, you've got to speak repentance. And I said, I understand that, but people got to know God loves them. But what do you mean by repentance? You want me to give a list of people and say, okay, now you do this and God will love you? No, people got to know that God loves them, that he's willing to save them. And then when they are born again, then it's their decision. Do you want to stay a baby or do you want to grow in the Lord? Because even in the book of Hebrews, it says, you're babes, you're still on milk. He says, you can't teach others. You need milk again. So there's people that refuse to grow in their salvation, but they still belong to the Lord. Babes in Christ, we can't just say, hey, because you're not doing things a certain way, you're going to hell. Whose decision is it what repentance means in somebody's life, by the way? Because sometimes I've come to realize it's what you believe. If you believe that God is a hard taskmaster, and you have no confidence in him, what's your salvation going to look like over a period of time? But when you learn of his love and you ask him into your life, it's up to you how much you want to grow. Some people stay babes in Christ, their whole life. Amen? Amen. So we didn't need to know about his love. Here's repentance to me. He loves you. He wants to change your life. Give your life to him. He wants to cleanse you of your sins. He wants to reveal to you what's truth and not truth. And then you lead him to Christ. Ask God to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And it's really up to them what they do with it. Is there such, when it comes down to it, people are, you and I, and people are going to stand before God. They're going to have to give an account to him, not to me. They're not going to give an account to you. They're going to give an account to our Father. Amen. So what in the church do we have to be careful of? It was wolves, right? So there's people that are actually sent in that they're not born again. Jude says that they're void of the Spirit of God. They come in to ravish the sheep. They look like a Spirit of God has upon them. They may have giftings and abilities, but they're actually sent in, and maybe unknowingly to themselves, being used by the enemy to bring division. That's what the church has to worry about. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Jesus, number 5, spoke the truth. Amen. 6, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So let me ask you, what's that mean to you in your mind right now, worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Well, the first thing I got to think about was, how did they worship him then? They worship God with what? Bringing in sacrifices. All these different things that they had to do that were in the natural, that were actually symbolism of things that are spiritual. Actually spiritual things. So when you think about it, he's saying that it's coming a time. So it hadn't happened then. It had not happened then. They weren't worshiping him in spirit and truth because the Spirit hadn't been given yet. They were still under the Mosaic law, right? So that say that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the first thing I know is that when you're born again, you get his Spirit. Amen? When we were worshiping him, could you imagine if when you don't know God, you see people sitting here worshiping the Lord, his presence, his Spirit's here, but people are like, what are you worshiping? See, they're in the flesh, they're not in the Spirit. So they're looking at things in the natural, and they're thinking, you're crazy, or you're brainwashed, or something like that. Well, their spirit's not renewed. They don't know how to worship in spirit. Amen? Giving a sacrifice of praise. The unbeliever or those who don't know righteousness or the Word of God, they wouldn't know what that means. So when it says worshiping him in spirit and in truth, well, we know that. What's it say in John chapter 1? Moses gave the law. Jesus brought what? Grace and truth. So number one, the Spirit is saying, I worship God by faith. Spirit is faith, right? When you're struggling and you're still not giving up, you're doing that by the Spirit in you. You're doing that by faith, amen? And then God, you don't give up or don't give in, and what happens? The Spirit of God refreshes you. The Spirit of the Lord refreshes you because you didn't give up or give in. Realize that we are worshiping in spirit. Oh, we'll see him someday, those saints. It says we will know him as we are known. It says right in 1 Corinthians 13, it says we are seeing him but in a mirror. And it's a foggy mirror at best. Amen? We get little glimpses of the spiritual realm. Get little glimpses of the spiritual realm. So worshiping him in spirit and truth. And as I said many times, everything that you can see is temporary. Everything you cannot see is eternal. So worshiping and walking in the eternal. Being kind people because we're eternal people. Amen? Man, this we're just a vapor here and gone. Where did time go, right? You ever said that? You get to be a young fellow like me, a younger old fellow, and you're like, where did time go? But walking in spirit, I know as well as me looking at you that Jesus is real. And I know that by faith and through his Spirit. Amen? Tapping into his Spirit. Trusting his Spirit. Worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So that means there has to be a truth. Amen? Who's the father of lies? Satan. So we know the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is wanting to reveal truth. Satan is wanting to to get you and I convinced to be locked in, to be focused on lies. You have to think, you can think in your mind, what are the different lies he tells you? There's so many different lies. He knows us. There's different lies at different times. Remember when Jesus was tempted, and then Jesus, after 40 days in the wilderness, and then the angels came and attended him, and it says, and Satan left him until an opportune time. That's what he's always doing. He's always looking, when can I attack? When can I attack? But you and I, walking in the Spirit of God, can be prepared for that. Know what we're up against. One thing I've known is I've hopefully grown more and mature in him. When the attacks come, I realize this is a chance for me, Lord, to trust in you and allow your power to be displayed in my life. Because another thing Paul says, that when I am weak in myself, I am strong in him. Amen? You look at all the things that he went through. You ever read that list? I've been beaten with rods. I've been whipped. I've been shipwrecked. I've been this and that. My own countrymen don't like me. And he said, all those things, he says, it was like a thorn in his flesh. And through all of that, amen, God's power was displayed in him mightily. Wow, isn't that amazing? All for the enemy to try to get Paul give up, like he does everybody else, just give up or give in. But when we don't give up or give in, I'm telling you, his power is displayed and comes in us. I think about Paul, who's three times said, man, take that thorn from my flesh. And if you read the different things, it's all the things that he went through. I don't believe it was sickness, because he doesn't mention anywhere about him being sick. But when you talk about that list of all the things he went through, Satan was sent to buffet him, and the enemy was going at him everywhere he went. I'll talk about this Sunday and Easter, is that with the jealousy of the different cities that he would go to Paul, that the Jews would raise up a riot against him. The enemy using people to downtrodden him. But he said to the Lord, three times, he said, Lord, take it away from me. What was the answer to that? What did Jesus say to him, though? Your grace. His grace is sufficient for you and I. Man, I don't know about you saints, but I want to understand his grace more and more. I'm always fighting. There's a side of me that wants to somehow pull towards behavior modification of mine. And I always have to remind myself that never worked decade after decade. And I start just pushing into his grace, saying, Lord, all those things that I may struggle with, all those things that are going on in my life, Lord, I know I push into you. And your grace, Father, is sufficient for me. And Paul says three times, he said, Lord, take it away from me. And the Lord saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. We talked about it last Sunday when he says, given us boldness to come into his throne room of what? Grace. Coming into his throne room of grace in the time of need. Saints, that we would have a revelation of his grace. Saints, you know, I wish we could put it, I could make up a sermon, 10 points on grace, and that would be it. But it's a revelation. You can't teach it. It has to be a revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart. A revelation of who you are in him. A revelation of receiving his grace, even though when you're a filthy, low-down dog, you don't deserve it, but he's still there with his grace. If you'll just call on him and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I'm struggling or whatever. And say, Lord, I call upon your grace, and keep tapping in it. Keep going into his throne room. If we're seated in him in heavenly places, it's tapping in the spiritual realm and say, Lord, I'm coming into your throne room by faith, through grace. Father, I'm coming into your throne room and saying, Lord, I need your help. With boldness. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he couldn't go into the throne room with boldness. He said, woe is me. I'm an unclean man, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. And then you think about what God did through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And in Hebrews, it's saying go into his throne room with boldness to get grace in your time of need. The great prophet Isaiah, woe is me. I shouldn't be here. I'm a dead man, basically. And then because of what God accomplished through Christ, you and I being asked to go with boldness into his throne room in your time of need to ask for grace. Father, I pray that you would teach us what that means, coming into your throne room, asking for your grace. Amen. Now when I read the Old Testament, because I do love the Old Testament, trying to glean everything that's talking about his, everything is talking about what he's accomplished already, everything that he's accomplishing now, everything that he's going to accomplish in the future, everything that he's doing through his church, right? Father, we thank you for your grace in our time of need. And when you're struggling, you have to say it over and over and over again, because this world, because of the enemy, when you're struggling is when you need to be bold to go into his throne room. Remember, I dare you and double dog dare you. When we start realizing that we just continually to come into his throne room because we already belong to him and we're only dependent upon his blood, it's amazing how we can go in there and those things that keep nipping at our heels begin to break off our life. The thought patterns begin to change. The word of God becomes through grace, the spirit of grace, because Moses brought the law, he brought grace and truth. It's amazing how when you have an understanding of grace, how the word begins to open up. And you read it with confidence, and you start reading who you are in him. Amen? And those things that you read in the word of God that chastise you, you just say, yes, Lord, I agree. I agree. I agree that I still need you to continue to grow me up. Amen? You imagine the most loving father and mother in the world, lavish. That's not even that can't even express what our father is. Think of the most lavish, loving mother and father. Amen? And then 10 billion times beyond that is our love of our father. For God is love. Amen and amen. 7, it says, I know the Messiah is coming, she says. He who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking to you. All the different parables that he was speaking to the general public. Here's a Samaritan who's not a Jewish person, not worshiping in truth, right? Jesus said, hey, you're worshiping what you don't know. So we have a woman who's worshiping what she doesn't know, who's lived a lifestyle that's been a wreck. Amen. And then when Jesus meets her at the well, he doesn't talk in parables. He says something about a drink. And then he opens it up and tells about his love for her, really. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Well, most everybody else, he continued to speak in parables. This woman, for some reason, at the end of herself, when he began to just read her heart, began to pinpoint her heart, she couldn't help but be the first evangelist in all Samaria. She couldn't help but being the first evangelist in the whole region, Jew or Samaritan. We'll read about it. Goes to the town to get people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? You know what that shows right there? That's God's grace. That's his love. He had predestination meeting with the rottenest gal in town, with the worst rottenest gal in town, right? And you know, the people in the town knew who she was, and it wasn't for good reason. But when she came in with that joy, said, hey, come see a guy, told me everything about me. I love the fact that God knows everything about you and I, amen? And he still loves it. He still knows our hearts. He can still say, yeah, I know about that. I know about this. I know about that. But do you want a drink? If you knew the gift of God before you, amen? That is amazing. That is indeed the grace of God. Can you stand up with me, saints? Do you love him tonight? Father, we just thank you. Can you lift up your hand and say, Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy? Lord, I pray that we would understand your grace like never before. Father, that we'd have a revelation of your love and your grace and your mercy and your strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have that confidence, Father God, of even in all our struggles, we belong to you. That's when we run to people and say, let me tell you about a one who told me everything I've ever done, but yet he still talked to me and loved me. And so we thank you for that, God. We are that woman at the well. Everybody in this room is that woman at the well. Did you know that? Everybody is, and yet, Lord, thank you that you love us. Father, we just take a minute and we worship you in spirit, and we worship in truth, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, with all our hearts, we say, we know that you are our salvation. We know that you're the healer of our body. We know that you're the healer of our emotions. Lord, we know that you're the healer of a tangled mind, that you untangle minds in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for healing hearts, delivering us in every area of our life. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would just continue with the lamp of your word, the lamp of your Holy Spirit, just shining in our hearts, different areas, Lord. We belong to you 100%, Lord. We belong to you, Father God. We commit our lives to your grace. And we thank you for continuing to change us and grow us, Father God, making us powerful in you, Lord. We're powerhouses in you, Father God. That power belongs to us, saints, if you want it. If you want it, if you believe, if you simply believe, here's a man who knew, told me everything about me, but yet he loves me. And so, Father, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you that'll shine through our lives to other people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.